pets, and welcome to another edition of Spider-Man, the animated series podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist, and lighter and all-around friendly neighborhood guy. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
Hello, everybody.
Ah, that was a nice little, like, jolly hello.
Fuck off.
Oh. Here he is. He's back. How are you?
I'm doing all right, dear Grodin.
We've had some requests since our last Kingpin and Smythe scenario, because the Cajun accent
went down. Cajun related?
Yes, the Cajun accent that you did in the last Kingpin and Smythe went down a treat, and it's the most I've received in messages and emails all at once on this podcast. I couldn't believe when all of these messages and emails were coming in, which is lovely, and I appreciate every single one of them.
You did share one with me that made me laugh, where you said somebody was cracking up in doing their shopping in Tesco listening to it, which to me is very funny that someone is out there like listening to our podcast while doing their weekly shop. It's rather sweet that I like that.
Yeah, that is nice. And people looking at that person weird because they're laughing quite a lot at us doing silly voices. So, the Kingpin and Smythe scenarios, I think, are going to... I've already received some that are on theme, so...
All right, but, you know, don't overdo it, you know.
No.
Get out while the going's good, just like the Beatles, baby.
Well, before we do that, as always, first category of the day, how is the art life?
It's been drawn right now.
It's been 1 week since I talked about it. Yep, you're drawing your Casey Jones book that you co-wrote, or wrote, not co-wrote, what am I talking about?
I fully wrote, thank you.
Fully wrote. Fully wrote and drawing that.
But I will say, when it comes to this comic, there was already sort of a story structure in place because it's part of a major event. And this is the thing I'm finding really fascinating right now about working on different stuff. Because when I did Vampirella, I was able to fully create a story and do whatever I wanted, which was really a lot of fun, and I liked that. But with this, it's, hey, this has to be connected into a bigger story.
Hmm.
So we need character to get from point A to point B. We need these characters involved, and this is the overall message that we need. So it's,
which
it's
I like, think is a lot of what most comic book writers have to deal with now, right?
I haven't written a ton of comics, but you know, it's like I said, it's a tie-in for a major event. I assume, you know, if I was, you know, let's say doing my own. They're like, we want to relaunch this book. I don't know if it would be with suggestions or not. Who knows? But it's just interesting. I feel like this is more of like a fill in the blanks job, this one. I'm still having a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to people doing it. I'm drawing this page right now that has, I think, about 50 characters on it. So I'm going hog wild, baby.
Oh, shit.
It's so funny because it's like, I usually, when this happens, I'm like, fucking writers. Giving me 7 panel pages to draw and multiple characters. Don't they understand that I have a life that I want to live outside of drawing? And who's the writer on this? It's me. So it's
Well, yeah, I think you can be a bit more forgiving, though, because you're just like, I write this, so yeah. I'm excited.
Only the best for me is my
All right, well, we know about Casey Jones, obviously. The Batman book came out whilst we were in between episodes, didn't it?
Did it? I thought it already came out before that. September 13th?
Nope, it was the 16th, so that was 4 days ago.
It came out on a Tuesday.
It came out on a Tuesday.
Which is last, because today's the 20th. It came out last
Tuesday. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm forgetting about an episode. We're doing episodes every week now, and, like, honestly, they're starting to blend into one another. Well, anyway, promo, if you don't know, he's drawn his first Batman book professionally for DC, Batman Urban Legends, number 19, on the shelves now. Go pick it up. He's got a 22-page story that he drew, which is the last story in the book, because it was like a collection of stories.
It's like an anthology series. And Speaking of anthology series,
hey, segue.
Get ready to hear me talk about my creator own book for the next, gosh, maybe half a year, depending on how long I decide to launch it.
All right, well, let's hear your elevator pitch then. You're going to have to polish this up every week.
My elevator pitch. All right. I'm creating a comic book It's an oh my god, I'm so shit at this, and you know
this is amazing.
I'm great at writing it down, but on the spot I'm so bad.
You already fucked it up, but I'm out of the elevator.
Bing, bing. All right, we can go one more floor. Okay, the book's called Outbreaks. It's a zombie anthology series, kind of like Black Mirror meets Dawn of the Dead. So you get multiple different stories, all sort of around a similar theme, which in this case is zombies. But with sort of different genre mashing and blending involved. And I'm a huge zombie fan. I'm a mega zombie nut. And I think there's still plenty of interesting and fun little stories to tell in that universe. And I think the zombie universe, since it's been depicted in so many different ways, is perfect for an anthology series, because I'm sick of like the, what? This thing has come back to life. It's biting me. Oh no, I've turned into a zombie. And someone says, if you get bitten, that's what happens. Look, we all know the rules, right? It's like a Batman. We know the rules. We know his pants are shot in the alley. Let's move on and have some fun. And that's what this book's about. So it's an anthology series. I'm writing and drawing a little story in the book as a backup. We have a whole creative team involved in the book that are all professional comic book artists that have brought you some of the best books, Marvel, DC, Image, Titan, IDW, the whole shebangabang. So I'm really looking forward to launching this. So please follow at SpeechBubble. What's the handle? No,
I thought it was at speech. I thought it was at Speech Comics.
Please follow at Speech Comics on Twitter, which is the only home for it right now, currently, where pretty much mostly every day during the week I'll be doing little updates until it comes out. And there's so much fun to come. I'm gonna have live streams of me drawing like the cover and asking questions about the book, because we're gonna have a letters column in the back of it. I've got already people, very prolific artists, sign on for variant covers, which I'm really looking forward to sharing with everybody. And I've got so much stuff in the works for this. I've made a whole trading card game connected to it, wasting my time in the morning when I should be relaxing and waking up, and I'm sitting there making a trading card game. So I'm really looking forward to it. And what we're trying to do is fund the first issue, get it colored and printed. That's it. This ain't about profit. It's about getting it in people's hands.
All right. And what's the first issue about?
The first issue involves two stories. One is the main story, which is called Rotten Luck. And that's about two guys locked in the drunk tank at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. And they have to figure out how to get out of there. So it's kind of like Great Escape meets Dawn of the Dead. And it's a dark comedy in the vein, kind of like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, and I love the premise, because not only do they have to figure out how to escape a jail cell, but they've also got the added extra danger and how to escape from a horde of zombies that are also in and around the jail cell.
Yeah, awesome. they're reaching through the bars, so they're trapped. And then the other story is, it's still very much in the early development stage, but I'm going to write it and draw it. It's called Dead Eye Dick, and it's a sort of thriller mystery noir story, much in the vein of, you know, the look of Batman the Animated Series. And a complete love letter to the old noirs of the 1940s and 50s. And it's about a private investigator who is the first ever successful eye transplant procedure receiver. I fucked that up, but he gets an eye transplant. But what everyone didn't know is that the eye transplant he got was from the first ever zombie, which was shot down before anybody realized what a zombie was. So now he's got this dead eye in his eyeball socket, and it is hungry for human flesh. So there you go. And I will do better as the weeks go on.
That's like Chinatown meets, what's the movie with Seth Green where the hand has a mind of its own that he
Freddy
has.
Freddy Got Fingered.
Freddy, was that it?
Yeah.
I thought that was a Tom Green movie. Is that the same movie?
No, that is a Tom Green movie.
There's Seth Green was in a movie where his hand has like a mind of its own, and it's like
I forgot about that film.
It's like a horror, but it's also mixed with comedy. And I'm scrolling. Fuck, I don't know. There's too many things he's part of.
I feel like Freddy was involved in it.
Maybe. It was like...
Are you sure it's not Freddy Got Fingered? Because that title would make sense.
No, it's not. Because that's with...
Eddie, Tom... would you like some sausage?
That's with Tom Green, yeah. Not Seth Green.
Yeah.
Seth Green hand movie. Let's have a look here. It's called Idle Hands, and it came out in 1999. Wow, there's a lot of 90s actors in this that I haven't seen in a long time. So anyway, kind of like Idle Hands meets Chinatown.
Yeah, that works for me.
I should be your head of marketing. Anyway, so we've got lots of Kickstarter stuff that you've just announced, which is awesome. Also, my involvement in that is creating stories, I suppose, when I can, and funding it myself through the Kickstarter. I've got my own little zombie story, don't I, that I've got, that I've had in the tank for a while, which is Homeward Bound meets the zombie apocalypse, where a young boy's dog is separated from him and his family during the outbreak of the apocalypse, and the dog has to venture through the great northern woods of New York to find his owner and protect him. And that's the story. Yeah, it's Homeward Bound, but with zombies, yeah,
and,
essentially.
And you get to hear, you know, the perspective, hear a dog's mind speak. Yeah. And see what the zombie world is like from a dog's perspective, which is a story I always loved that you've made. So the goal is, you know, I funded myself the drawing of Rotten Luck, but I'm not able to afford the coloring anymore. And that's why I need people's help to get it colored and printed. And the hope is in the future is stories like the one that my brother just told, we can get fully funded by itself via the Kickstarter, because, you know, we've built up enough fan trust and people want the content. So that's the dream, and we'll see you there.
Yep. And the whole idea with this, and the reason that Will's going to Kickstarter, is because zombie stories are kind of, after The Walking Dead, are instantly judged by comic book properties for obvious reasons. Obviously, The Walking Dead is dominated, but as Will said at the beginning, there's so many stories you can tell, and there's so many great mashups of genres that you can put into the zombie apocalypse, and he's such a zombie fan that it would be such a shame to see these great stories go amiss. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's I actually just, because I was writing out the Kickstarter campaign over the weekend, and I did write down, like, I brought this series to, because I got it drawn 5 years ago, and I've brought it to so many different companies to get it picked up. And they've all said the same thing. They're like, I don't think people want to, you know, The Walking Dead's so big, I don't think we want to do a zombie comic. And I'm calling bullshit on that. I think people do want zombie books. I think, yes, the shadow of Walking Dead looms high over the comic industry. But you know why? Because people fucking love zombies, and it's a great story. And I want to make great zombie stories. So,
and it's totally different from Walking Dead, because The Walking Dead obviously is taking the very serious tone and following this one group of people that has to survive through the years, where the stories that you're making, and even the one that I made, is all about a completely different group of people that have to, you know, survive in a certain situation. It could be the beginning of the apocalypse. It could be 10 years into it, whatever.
And like, it's not even just about the your cliche bog standard zombie apocalypse. Like I said, Deadeye Dick is not in a zombie apocalypse. It's in 1940s freaking New York City, and it's a detective story. There just happened to be a zombie at one point. That's it. So that's the point is, you know, I love zombies. I love anything to do with the undead. And I'm passionate about this, and I've been passionate about it for so long. And it's just time to nut up or shut up and see if there's a market for it. So please join us at Speech Comics on Twitter for more announcements. I will eventually have a launch site for people to be able to hang out in, get emails from, giving updates on everything, and then I'll be announcing when we're going to be launching it. And like I said, there's loads of fun stuff coming up, loads of variant artists I'm going to talk about, and yeah, just stay tuned.
Awesome. So after all of that promo and the Art Life chat, we go straight into Kingpin and Smiley scenario.
Another important operation, Smythe.
You will do as you are told.
My name is Alistair Smythe.
It seems the new Alistair is just as disappointing as the old.
A crime lord known as the Kingpin.
As you should know, Smythe, in spite of my size, I have the agility of a cat. It is time for me to cut my losses and make a change.
This week's episode of Kingpin and Smythe has been written in by listener Bobby Jacobs. Now, I said there was kind of a theme with after our Cajun accent, and this one stood out because I thought it was really funny. And I think you can have some fun with this one, bud. So Bobby said, after last week's epic Cajun accent, we need more accents from Will in these scenarios.
Now, look, I'm not trying to get cancelled here, for Christ's sake.
No. So logically, the next scenario I can think of is Kingpin and Smythe go down under.
Okay, you chose a non-offensive accent to make to do an right? impression of. That's a great.
Trust me, bud. I got some Kingpin and Spy scenarios where I was like, that's definitely going to offend people. Thanks for sending it in, but no thanks. So I chose wisely. I did the cup of Christ here. The cup of a carpenter. I chose wisely on this one. All right. So Kingpin and Smythe go down under. Yeah. Instantly, I want to see this special. This is like I don't know, like the Grand Tour. You know, we just watched that. Mm-hmm. It's like a special. I want to see Kingpin and Smythe just travel around the world and go to different countries and try different cultures and food and stuff. So first of all, the flight takes fucking ages. So then,
I might just take an edible on the flight, Smythe, and pass out, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Smythe gets a lot of work done whilst Kingpin is sleeping on the plane, and they land in Australia. They get off the plane. I can see...
I haven't done an Australian accent in a long time. I have no idea how it's going to come out.
Well, listen, sir, I got us both these hats, you see, that are... They're not Crocodile Dundee hats, because that would be too much of a stereotype, but they're of the sort, if you know what I mean, sir. Here you go, put this on. Oh, that looks good. Oh, I like you.
I like it. Oh, it keeps the sun out, mate. Oh.
And you look fantastic in that khaki vest, sir, I must say.
Do you like my khaki cravat, Smythe? Yes.
I do, sir. It's even got little pockets in it.
It's got, I was about to say, and yes, this pocket has a little, you know, a little snack in there for me. Pepperami. Taste of home, Smythe.
Sir, we're from Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's where the... Pepperoni factory from
Smythe. I meant pepperoni.
Yes, very, very good, Smythe.
Oh, God. Oh, man. So, all right, they get out and they're driving.
Bloody hell! Crikey! Look at the size of that one. Smythe, is he talking about me?
Sir, I actually don't know who he's talking to because this hat is blocking my vision. I need to take it off.
Biggest croc I've ever seen.
That's not Australian. That's like an orc from Lord of the Rings. I can do Australian. I need to try and get into the mindset of it.
Oh, God. Oh, where are you going? What words do you need? Hello? Do you need like the I'm Bruce from Finding Nemo?
I need to think of a... Give me a stereotypical Australian character, because that's how I feed off of this stuff.
Well, there's Bruce, the shark from Finding Nemo. Fine. There's... that's not a knife. No, this is a knife. There's Crocodile Dundee, obviously. It's
Crocodile Dundee, isn't it?
Yeah, stop saying in it. No, they don't say in it. They don't. Like it. You're doing all right until the in it. Then it's just like a bloke from London who's trying to do an Australian accent.
Cam Smith. I'm Cam Smith. I'm a great golfer.
You went golf with this? All right. Okay.
I'm Cam Smith. Cam.
All right.
His
so
his name's Cam, but he says Cam.
Okay. So the driver's name. Let's just call him Cam because
my name is Cam Smith. Yeah. I'll be your driver. Oh, it's famous golfer Cam Smith's mate. What a nice welcome.
I do this in my spare time. So
yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, cheers, Gav.
Yes. Now that I've joined Live Golf, I've got loads of extra time to do stuff like this.
Any golf fans out there know what I'm talking about, am I right?
Hey, oh, God, golf fans. This is going downhill. So
I want to show you our great country.
First of all, we got spiders as big as your head, and you've got a big fucking head,
Bloody
don't you?
Nora, they massive.
You are the orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, welcome to the tour. Everyone thinks most of it was filmed in New Zealand, but did you know a lot of orc stuff was filmed right here in Australia?
You know what? This sounds really offensive. I feel like this is bad.
Smythe, what about your legs? You don't need your legs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Well, I just wanted to see... I wanted to get into a scenario where Kingpin's just like, look, Smythe, the kangaroo, it's hopping around, look. And then it suddenly gets really defensive and Kingpin ends up getting in a punching fight with a kangaroo. Crikey, look out for the left hook there, mate.
You know what this reminds me of? I feel like us doing an Australian accent is like when people do English accents and it's just like painful to listen to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you hear people being like, as I said, like Harry Potter picked a pot and put it in a pepper. And you're like, shut up. It's really offensive. But I think I'm not going to continue this.
Well, we can have a short-lived one. I mean, honestly, I think the accent thing, it's one of those things that has to come. I think trying to...
I can do a lot of accents, but I guess Australians... I can do South African a lot better than I can do...
You can? Whoa.
Australian.
So Kingpin and Smythe go...
welcome to South Africa. It's a very nice country. I'm really happy that you're here. Who else? Who wants to hear more impressions? What else we got? That's not
what else you got? You do Russian?
Hello, I am the Russian man. Currently, we are very bad peoples doing bad things in planet Earth. Ukraine, we're liberating them. Wink, wink.
That was very much the Russian guy from Boondock Saints, wasn't it?
We recently rewatched this movie, and this is the accent the guy had, and every line he said was memorable.
You go now.
You will be closing now.
All right, that's the end of the Kingpin Smythe scenario this week. That one's definitely not going to go down in the history books as a good one. I'm sorry, Bobby Jacobs, because I had high hopes, but I guess it just didn't land.
I have been doing a King Charles recently. That's really... my wife doesn't like me to do it because it grosses her out.
Oh my God! Smythe, did you see we have a new king in the country?
Oh, he's right here, so he's gonna say hello.
Oh,
hello there. God, it's very nice to meet you, Wilson Fisk.
I'm doing a Dracula.
I'm currently holding my hands up to my body like I'm a velociraptor.
Fucking Nosferatu. That was not King Charles. That was... I want to suck your blood.
These bloody peasants around here, I can't stand it. Bloody peasants. They're bloody king, they should respect me.
It's like taffy falling out of a jar or something, isn't it? Or like
someone really... dropped my taffy on the floor. eat it where the commoners get their taffy from.
Well, usually our Kingpin and Smythe scenarios are much better than that.
Here's my impression of the Queen. All right, let's move on. That was a terrible scenario.
If you enjoy this podcast.
Oh,
I'm doing the
actually,
fucking...
bud. You'll find that the word is podcast.
If you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to come visit us on Instagram and Twitter at Spider-Man TAS Pod. Don't interrupt me as I'm plugging the pod at Spider-Man TAS Pod, where you can get up to date news and message us your much better Kingpin and Smythe scenarios. There, we'll promise we'll do better. Also, be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, as it helps us will crawl up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And finally, you can follow Will on his social media pages to see his artwork, stay up to date on what he's working on now, and get a glimpse into the right day of a comic book artist and writer. Will, where can our listeners find you?
Anywhere at Robson Inc. And that's on Twitter, where all the bloody governors chat to each other.
Robson Inc. INK, you're goddamn right. That's and also. Right. Also at Speech Comics for his Kickstarter. And you can find me at Chef Alex Robson everywhere, including my YouTube channel, where I cook fictional characters' favorite food or make movie tie-in dishes with fast food items. It's a good time. I've also got some news that... Nope, I can't. I've also got some news, but I just realized I can't announce it yet. But... there'll be some cool TikTok content coming soon from me.
Nothing like a guy in his mid-30s using TikTok, baby.
That's right. I'm hip. I know what's going on the TikTok. Yep, I'm going to be collabing with a particular brand on some TikTok videos with the kind of cooking style that I've been adapting in my videos for YouTube. So keep an eye out for that, and I'll be sure to announce more as it comes along. All right, some news as always, bud, before we get into this review today. First bit of news, Patty Jenkins' Star Wars movie, Rogue Squadron, has been removed from the release schedule completely and has supposedly been cancelled.
That's a shame. I was looking forward to that. I really liked the promo they did for it. She talked about her father being like in the Air Force, and then the fucking X-Wing flight takes off. I was like, oh yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I was in.
I've been emotional watching that as well. Yeah,
I agree. It's a shame that it seems to have gone the way of the Dodo. I think it's because there were rumors.
Dodo is very delicious. It is very rare. Only me and mummy have eaten it. You have to eat it holding up your napkin so to hide the shame. That's what you're doing.
So weird when you put your hands when you do that.
It's the only way I
just
can
dank.
Hard and come, mother.
Anyway, Patty Jenkins, Star Wars Rogue Squadron. Yeah, they did a promo and everything. It would have been, I really would have loved to have seen like a dogfight scenario in a Star Wars movie.
There's a reason why Rogue One for me is like still one of the best Star Wars movies they've made ever, because I love me some ground stuff. I don't really care about the Jellos that much personally. I like Sith, but that whole side of Star Wars is great, but my jam is just military people doing military stuff.
Well, I think
Battle of Hoth, baby.
I think this show coming up, then, with you saying that, this Andor show that comes out this week.
Yeah, I should like it.
You should like it. It looks very like Rogue One. And obviously he's from Rogue One, but it looks like Rebels just being Rebels in the Star Wars universe, and stormtroopers and space battles and dogfights and, you know, like war being waged on crazy planets. Looks fun. So yeah, hopefully that's good, because that comes out this week. And that's pretty much it for Star Wars news. We've got a new announcement that, do you know that Keanu Reeves is going to do another sequel to a film that he did a long time ago?
I saw this today.
He's going to do Constantine 2. It has been announced. This is something that Warner Brothers is moving forward with. Warner Brothers has famously cancelled pretty much everything that they've had scheduled for the next couple years, but it seems to be that they're getting rid of things that they don't like the sound of and replacing it with things that they do like the sound of, and this happens to be one of them.
Sounds great to me. The first Constantine movie, I think, is a hidden gem. I watch it pretty much every Halloween, and it's just a fun movie. Is it like the Constantine books? No, not really. Is he like the character John Constantine? Not really. Mm-hmm. Is it great? Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because usually comic book fans of a character will obviously reject anything that deviates from the character depiction on screen, because obviously the 90s was full and the early 2000s was full of movies just butchering those comic book characters and not making them anything like their original depictions. But Constantine 2, I'm in, man. Constantine's one of the exceptions. I think it sounds great. And like Blade is one of those, right? Like Blade is nothing like his character in the comics. They just kind of took...
Well, no, they're similar.
How? His character in the comics.
You know, you're right. He's more similar post the film. That's right.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, there's some really good ones out there that may have changed it for the better and not done the original comic book story. And Constantine is one of those as well. I tell you,
you think they'll get Skarsgård back as Satan? Because I want that shit. I love his Satan.
Was Skarsgård Satan?
One of the Skarsgårds.
I haven't seen Constantine 1 in a very long time.
You used to say that was like one of your favorite performances. I remember that.
Skarsgård?
Yeah, he's a Skarsgård. He's the Skarsgård that gets eaten by the compies in Lost World, and he's the Skarsgård that...
He's a Skarsgård, that guy?
Yeah. He's like the older Skarsgårds from the Marvel Universe, his brother, I believe.
Oh, shit. Yeah. He's a great devil.
The way he with the tar ripping from the lungs. Ah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so I will probably check it out.
Well, I own it, bud, so you can watch it anytime.
Oh, shit. Other moves not happening at Warner Brothers, but this time happening at Sony, which is interesting, is Sony has... Hash? Oh, my God. Sony
I'm
has...
I'm the same. I found recently when I speak... I had a lot of hash, hash, hash.
Are we turning into those stereotypical Brits that have a lisp? That's just like, yes, I don't know why I have to suffer anymore.
Yes, keep telling me. Yes.
lisps. It's so weird.
commoners and peasants' lisps.
Okay.
My father had a stutter, but he got over it.
So,
not my father, sorry, my grandfather.
So listen, Kingy. Sony has pushed back Madam Web and Kraven movies. And
oh, no.
It seems that they're not pushing it back because they're like, we've got to do some reshoots. They've just said we're pushing them back, and they haven't really provided a reason, which makes me happy because I really don't think that these movies, Madam Web and Kraven, need to exist. And I know Sony's trying to cash in on every single Spider-Man character and make them into their own movies, hence why Venom 3 has recently been greenlit. I just hope that these movies kind of just go away, because I don't want to see a good guy Kraven movie. I don't think I want to see a Madam Web movie. I mean, granted, I'll have to wait until a trailer to really make that decision, but when they announced Venom, I had the same thought, and then they showed a trailer and I was like, yep, I was right, this does not look good. And the final bit of news is the Spectacular Spider-Man animated series. If you all remember, there was obviously
Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yep, that one indeed, with the catchy theme tune. That came out, I think that came out early 2000s, didn't it, that show?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, or like it was post the Tobey Maguire movies, maybe. But it was still like before 2010. That show has been in limbo for a long time because it's all about ownership rights and who has it. But it has officially been stated that it will start streaming on Disney Plus this October.
Where it should be. They own it. They own the brand, so they should have it.
Yep, but obviously people like Fox and Sony and all of that stuff, even though Disney does own Fox now. But yeah, it's going to Disney Plus, which is great. I've seen a lot of people that are fans of Spider-Man the Animated Series, but also fans of the Spectacular Spider-Man the Animated Series. So yeah, people are looking forward to seeing that.
I watched it on your recommendation like 15 years ago, or however long ago it was.
It's a good watch.
I was at uni in America, and I had just finished watching Spider-Man the Animated Series. In total, like in one long binge, and then you were like, you should check it out, and I did, and I liked it.
Yeah, it's in my opinion not as good as Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Yeah, of course not,
but it's good and it's definitely worth a watch. Yeah. All right, so that wraps up the news, closing with some Spider-Man stories. So let's get into reviewing this episode.
How do you know about stuff like this?
Hey, who do I look like? The Tick? My spider sense is going bonkers.
I'm not sure I understand it all myself, but here's what I know.
Are you ready?
Go for it!
You're here amongst friends.
What's that in your hand?
It's some kind of recording device, I found.
I can't believe this! How could they get it so wrong?
Now there's nowhere Spider-Man can run. At last he'll get what he deserves.
Thanks, Aunt May. I needed that.
This is something you have trouble remembering?
Hey, I hear that kind of thing 2-3 times a week.
Face it, Tiger. You just hit the jackpot.
All right, this episode is titled The Haunting of Mary Jane, came out on July 19th, 1997, written by Meg McLaughlin and Virginia Ruff.
McLaughlin!
Starring voice actors Christopher Daniel Barnes as Peter Parker and Spider-Man, Ed Asner as J. Jonah Jameson, Rodney Salisbury as Robbie Robertson, Sarah Ballantyne as Mary Jane, Greg Berger as Mysterio, Quentin Beck, Ed Gilbert as Mr. Watson, Roscoe Lee Brown as Kingpin Wilson Fisk, Beverly Garland as Miranda Wilson, and Frankie Crocker as Jimmy Dugan. I don't remember a Jimmy Dugan in this, but
Jimmy Dugan.
He was, yeah.
Don Dugan?
I don't, that's actually a good point. It's the same last name, but he was on the actor's sheet. Why can't I think of it? What I'm actually trying to, what I really want to say. He was on the actor's sheet.
The cast list?
The cast list. I don't think I can do a podcast every week, but this is tough. all right. Some honorable mentions. Wow. Honorable mentions for Beverly Garland, who passed away in 2008. She was famous for lots of different movies. She made like a few appearances in shows like Friends. She was like,
oh yeah, who was she in Friends?
I don't know. I knew you were going to ask me. It was like Aunt something or other, and she was in one episode, so she wasn't really around.
I'm a Friends fan, so I would know who it is. What's the actress' name?
Beverly Garland.
Yeah, you keep going.
So Beverly Garland passed away in 2008. She was most famous for all of those old school 50s horror movies, though, which I thought was really fitting for this episode, and probably while she was hired, because you've got movies like It Conquered, Swamp Women, and all these other famous 50s horror movies that kind of were like B-movies, mm-hmm. or cowboy movies as well. She was in a lot of them. But yeah, she was on like...
Oh, I know. She's the one that teaches them all how to play poker.
Okay, there we go. And she was on Seventh Heaven as well, as like a random character.
Seventh Heaven. When I see those smiling faces, something, something, something.
The dad is a sex pervert, I'm pretty sure.
He is a pervert, and he married a fan less than half his age, and they ran away.
Yeah, that's gross.
That is gross.
That's the name of the show now. That is gross.
Man, I remember watching that show as a kid being like, I am not a religious person.
No, neither. Yeah, I was not into that at all. I was just like, when are we seeing Jessica Biel again?
Of course you were.
Yeah.
You were like the horniest child of all time.
Fucking, don't call me a child. Don't say horny and child together. You got
your first
gross.
Kid boner watching Batman 2.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, man.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
My first crush.
Sexually awoke you way too early in life.
Way too early. And also, like, the kink as well, man. Like, that, like, leather outfit she was in. I was just like, why do I like this so much?
Yeah.
Okay, back to the episode. What did you think of this episode?
I really liked it. I mean, I'm a horror fan anyway, so I thought it was got pretty dark for a kid's cartoon at points, and I'm all for that.
Yep, I agree.
I love the title of it as well.
Yeah, I thought the title was like very almost Batman the Animated Series-esque, you know, like putting out like some mysterious title like The Haunting of Mary Jane and not just
caught. Kind of more in the vein of a Batman episode.
It was, wasn't it? And I really liked this episode a lot. I was surprised at how much I liked it. I love the team up of Mysterio and Spider-Man. I thought mm-hmm. that was a great little dynamic they had going there.
I was in the moment pirate robot showed up, bud. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, me too, man. I really like those. I like the brief little JJ and Spidey team up. They're always great together. It's great to see JJ back.
Story of the year, not on your life.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good one. I like that. And Mysterio,
would you like to hear another impression?
No, Mysterio is just an excellent villain, and especially this one. Greg Berger is so good.
That was Greg Berger doing that?
Yeah, Greg Berger did that.
And he crushed it. That was so good.
He's so villainous, and there's such a difference between his Kraven and his Mysterio in the show, mm-hmm. which I love. But what I like most about his Mysterio, it reminds me a little of like Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go very
kind of
like creepy and wavy with my voice. Because
that is a good call.
I like that a lot. So, yeah, he just...
Now I'm just picturing Mysterio being like, how I do it? Dun-dun. Special effects, man.
It's just a step to the left. he's really good in this, and he made the episode for me for sure. I was like, I miss Mysterio. I wish we saw more of him.
Yeah, when he popped up, I was like, oh, cool, Mysterio episode.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time. Some highlights for me, instantly happy to see JJ right at the beginning. I was already like, and he's dressed as a pirate? They looked good as
and
pirates.
And he hated it as well.
Yeah, I love that. I think Peter looked really good in his pirate costume as well. I thought the animation style looked quite good for like a pirate show in its own right. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it really suited the color scheme and the character depictions. JJ taking off his pirate mustache to reveal his real mustache was a really funny touch. I thought that was excellent. What do you think of the pirate robots then?
Yeah, I really liked them. I liked that at first they just kind of looked like sort of zombies, really. And I was like, oh, like I'm in.
That's true. They did. Yeah.
And then you start to see like the mechanical stuff start to play out. But like, I know it's a pretty overused trope, but I really love when like fake versions of popular characters are made, whether they're robots or, you know, clay or whatever they are. I really dig that trope because you get to have so much fun. Like Spidey like fighting Venom and Carnage and Dr. Octopus and Lizard all at once. Like, it's just fun, and especially like from an artist's point of view, that's the shit you want to be drawing. So,
and also because they're robots, the hero can like break their heads off, you know, and like rip them to pieces.
The Samurai Jack method of you can really fucking do some damage because of So yeah, I really liked it. I liked that aspect of it, but I liked the everything. I liked the plot twist at the end, where you know, just fucked up with the lady with the scarred up face. Even though it wasn't that bad, like the whole time I was watching, because I also watched it with my wife. My wife was just screaming as she was giving her whole like life story. She just kept saying, "Just go to the doctor." Like, just go. What? I love that she's like, "I'm so hideous. I must crawl through the sewers like the street rat I am now."
Well, she was led there by rats. I was like, "What is she like, the Rat King?" She's like, "All I had was a group of rats that led me into a safe place in the sewers, but and I also deteriorated."
She fucked up big time, and here's why. Because she could have done two things. Mysterio, if he can make robots that look like actual people, he can probably make your face look fine. And two, he can also turn on a thing that makes him look like someone else's father, like perfectly, and trick people. He could just do that for a minuscule part of your face, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So the fact that, and also like, I get that you had a little scratch in your face, but why did you fully commit to becoming a full cyborg woman? And also, as my wife pointed out, my wife went, "Look, she's pretty fit for a cyborg, so I think she'll do just fine."
She's got hips for days. I know some hips. I was just like, "God damn, like, you got a figure."
She'll do absolutely fine in the dominatrix market, 100%.
Yeah, oh, you're so right. With the, like, all of the robotic like cranes coming in and like places you could like chain people up.
Oh, and I also
Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman in there. We got a good time.
getting sweaty, but
take a moment.
Gross. I don't want to think about that. Moving on.
It's an illusion.
I also love like the classic like brain swapping narrative as well. I like that how he said it was faked because
that was dark.
She said it's like she was basically going to kill herself. If this wasn't going to work because like it was the only hope that she had. Like, there were some great adult themes in this episode.
There really were. They handled it. They also handled child abuse really well. Like, to bring up Mary Jane's past in a cartoon is really tough. Now, granted, they did go kind of like soft with it, where he's just like, in the flashback, her dad's like, "This place is a mess. How are we supposed to do anything around here? I'm out of here." And I'm like, "You left over a little mess? You suck." But I'm sure it's like, that's the most they could have done with that scenario, right? Like, and he was yelling, and obviously, you know, he's being very angry, so they're trying to depict he's not a good dude. But yeah, they dealt with some really adult themes, and I thought they did it really well. I also think that the exposition was done well, like explaining who Miranda was and like the Mysterio origins. She was there as well. And it was like, it started with those guards in the prison talking about it, and then it ended with MJ talking about it. And she's like, "And that's why I'm in a movie now." And it was like, that was a really good way to kind of pace this forward. And it's like, all right, let's get to, you know, the main point of this whole plot. I thought that was really good. Did you notice that Mary Jane is dressed like a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in the show?
I dig that suit, bud. I'm not going to lie.
I dig it too. She's dressed like a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. It's just not, it's not blue. It's purple instead, which I think is really cool. Why do you dig that that suit, bud?
No reason.
I loved how Mysterio escaped the prison with the like the illusions of flooding, and how he had skin-colored like plasters.
Prison escape. The best bit in this is Spider-Man coming to his window in the prison, and he needs like information. I can't remember, just on Mary Jane or something like that. And what's the Mysterio's name like in real life?
Quentin Beck.
Yeah, Quentin Beck just turns around and crosses his arm and turns his face away, like in his head, just going, the fact that like Spider-Man's like, "You're gonna give me the information," and then he turns around and crosses his arm and looks away from him and puts a pout on his face.
I also like how Spider-Man doesn't believe it's the real him for a second. He's like, "It's me," as he's like grabbing him. That was really good. Mary Jane refers to the director of this movie as JS, which I assume probably stands for John Semper, being that he was the showrunner.
I was trying to figure that out.
That would make sense, right?
That JS. Makes complete sense.
Spider-Man lands really hard on his ass at one point. Did you see him?
Yes, he does.
Going down in the sewers? And yep. I'm like, oh, he always lands on his feet, but he lands straight on his ass and like bounces a good 5 feet.
He also, there was no reason to do it. He kicks the animatronic of Mary Jane's dad so hard when he comes in the room at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And like the robot was turned off. Like it was just hanging there. And he comes in being like, fuck you!
You abused my love!
Yeah, exactly.
How much did your heart break when Kingpin talks about Smythe and he said, he's no longer with me?
Oh, I know.
I was like, oh, and then he's selling Smythe's stuff. Like he's getting rid of like memories of an ex or something. I was like, oh yeah. Mate.
I can't have anything that will remind me of Smythe anymore.
Oh, speaking of the selling the Smythe stuff, what about those 3D models of Spider-Man?
Oh, that's my next note, bud. Oof.
He looked like a butt plug or something. Like he looked so strange.
It was weird, right? Like I'm like, why even bother doing that? Just have like a 2D drawn animated figure of Spider-Man twirling around in like doing a 360. Yeah, the 3D animation was real bad. That really took me out. I was like, am I watching a different show? Like, what was that? I just
it was
witnessed.
Charming though.
The Spider-Man also looked like when someone tries to knock off a character and they change enough about that character where they don't get copyright.
Spindervon. Like,
yeah. Night Monkey. I like that in the movies. Okay, what's next? We've got all the villain robots showing up, as you said, like Venom and Carnage. Lizard, Doc Ock, Rhino, like all of that was just so great. How Mysterio, and I love how Mysterio's like, I made them better than I could ever imagine, as he was like trying to fight them too. And they were...
I like when Venom just starts breathing fire and Spider-Man's like, oh, I see you've like made some upgrades as well. Fun stuff. I like it.
Yeah, it was really cool. MJ's dad being attached to that crane and like revealed that way, I thought was actually kind of creepy. Like the way he was just like, he almost looked like a marionette coming in, like floating like that. And there was all those, there was really good animation on the wiring on his back, like all the cables plugged into him and stuff. And I thought Miranda looked pretty creepy in that chair as well. It all worked. It was really cool.
It really all reminded me of, what's his name from Marvel? Mojo. You know, the guy, the big dude that's in the giant chair. And
he was MODOK.
Mojo. Is it Mojo?
Is MODOK?
No, I'm not talking about MODOK, for Christ's sake. Let me finish my sentence. He was the villain. He was the villain in the spider hand that I drew.
Yeah, MODOK. Mojo? I was like, are you talking about Powerpuff Girls? Are you talking about Mojo Jojo? What are you talking about?
It's Mojo, goddammit. Fucking Mojo.
I ain't never seen Mojo.
Oh, you've never seen him? Well, I drew him for like 2 issues of Spider-Man, so thanks for supporting me on that, bud.
Admittedly, I did not read the Spider-Ham issues that you drew. But the Batman stuff is real good. Love that one. I was reminded of Star Trek, and I'm not like the biggest Star Trek fan, but there was one movie I watched as a kid that I think it's like Star Trek, is it First Contact? It's a Patrick Stewart one, and there is this alien race that basically turns you into like a half robot. And I remembered that maybe Semper had something to do with he loves Star Trek so much. So I'm wondering if his influence maybe went into Miranda and the way she looked from Star Trek, you know, and particularly that film, because that was quite a popular film. I don't know. I'm not a Trekkie, so people that are out there, if you know what I'm talking about.
Those characters are from the show itself.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. They are. Just Miranda really reminded me of like that alien race in that Star Trek movie, basically, and the kind of creepy, dark element to being taken over, like, and being more robot than human. How long do you think Miranda was in those caves until Mysterio found her? Because she was just like, I found shelter, but my body deteriorated, and then eventually Quentin found me after he got released from jail. So I'm like, so you were there for a long time, because if he went to jail for what he did on that bridge, like, how did you survive for that fucking long down there?
He also caused, like, all of her problems.
I thought that too. And he's like, I love you. And she's like, if I was her, I'd be like, fuck you, buddy. Look, like, my life is over.
Go to the hospital.
Yeah. Well, she couldn't, because she had to seek shelter and she couldn't move. She was so deteriorated, as she said.
I saw the background. She could have swam to shore and said, help, I've been in an accident.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, and we were saying earlier, Mysterio lying to Miranda about that mind swapping machine that was never going to work. Really great twist. Like, I was like, oh, that's dark. That's something you don't see a lot in cartoons, that kind of like, yeah, this machine was never going to work. I was doing it because you basically, this was the only thing you were hoping for.
I would make one correction to it, because he does pick up a chair and destroy the machine. I think he should have just stood there and let it run as it doesn't work.
Yeah. I agree. When he was destroying the machine, I thought that too. I was like, why destroy the machine then? So at the end of the episode, Mysterio stays with Miranda. Do you think he died in that explosion? Because I don't think we see him anymore in the show.
Nah.
I think, well, that's the last we see Mysterio in the show.
If the show was able to continue, we would have seen more of him. So
yeah, we probably would have.
I don't think he's dead.
Do you think Miranda's dead?
Nope.
She's mostly robots, so
no one ever dies in the stuff for me.
Yeah, that's true. And MJ and Spidey escape the blast. They land on a rooftop, and MJ tells Spider-Man that she's in love with Peter Parker. Spider-Man removes his mask suddenly and says, MJ, I have something to tell you, and that is the end of the episode. And I thought that was a great place to end it. You know, with him just...
Oh, absolutely. I'd be like, oh, I gotta tune in next week.
Yeah, and I like how you don't see Peter Parker's face. You just see her reaction to him taking off the mask.
I also love that MJ's so loyal to Peter as well.
Yeah, I've always liked that when they do that in the Spider-Man movies and shows and stuff. So yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was really good. I thought it was another one. I mean, the Harry Osborn one that we had last week was really great, and I feel like this one was just as good, if not a little better. Really enjoyed the pacing of this one. So I look forward to next week's. In fact, I'm now very curious about what next week's is, because this season, like...
It is an episode that I remember as a kid. It's the one with the lizard, where like a bunch of lizard people are like,
you're
the King Lizard.
Oh no, it's the Lizard King episode. But yeah, this is my least favorite episode of this entire series.
I remember liking it.
Maybe I'll like it, because
you also were like, Big Wheel or whatever it was.
Big Wheel was bad. Come on.
Wig.
Yeah.
I guess you don't remember. But when did I did this podcast?
Did I like it?
We're shitting all over Big Wig.
Big Wig.
Big Wheel. And then we watched it, and you were like, "Oh, I really liked that." And I love that and I love that your memory has already, like, reverted back into its, I'm standing in my place. This is my hill.
Let me say there have been episodes that have surprised me, like the one with the child that's dying, like the Make-A-Wish Foundation episodes or whatever. I remember being like, these are the worst episodes of this show, I'm pretty sure. And I watched them, and when we reviewed them, and I remember being like, this was actually a really good
episode. The Big Wheel one had all of the Robbie Robertson, like, crime stuff and...
Did it? Is that the same one? Is that the same one?
It starts like that thread of stuff, doesn't it?
I think you're right. And then you've also got, another character, which I think Robbie's son becomes.
Yeah.
On like a floating hoverboard thing or whatever. Yeah, I guess it was okay.
That's the episode.
Yeah, Lizard King... Bring it on then. We'll see what happens. I have my reservations, but I could very well be wrong, and I'll admit it. I'll say if I am, I'll be like, I was wrong. This is a good episode. Will I remember it in a couple of years? Maybe not.
Yeah, Big Wheel's so lame, bro.
I need to go back and watch Big Wheel again, because I've already forgotten most of that episode. All right. Well, there's no censor thwip for this week. I didn't see any breaks in censorship. If you did, please just get a hold of us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Spider-Man TAS Pod and let us know. But moving on to our second to last category of the day, it's the Friendly Neighborhood Quiz Game. Give me a jingle.
Friendly Neighborhood Quiz Game.
Yeah, that's like that was kind of like a Family Matters, like that's how the intro ends, you know, like one of those like 90s sitcoms. Not bad, not bad.
It's not good. You don't need to pepper it. It was terrible. Just move on.
You're not going to do take two. You're like, that's it. That's all you get.
Oh, I'm tired today.
What does question one? What does JJ call Spider-Man at the beginning when falling for Mysterio's trick? And I will give you a clue.
No idea.
It is a word used commonly for stupid people dating back to prehistoric times. It begins with an N.
There were no people in prehistoric times.
Well, okay, not okay, but don't get technical with me. Like caveman era, like they were. It's used all the time as an insult. Begins with an N.
Are you saying that cavemen were using this word as an insult towards you?
It's used as an insult now.
Ooga, ooga, yuga, yuga, booga.
It's used as an insult now to depict
insults,
like...
It's insult, so it's pickled.
I'm going to fucking punch you straight in the face.
You're going to choke me out?
I'm going to choke you out. Listen to the... what am I talking about? Now I can't even fucking pick up my words properly. I'm just going to give you the answer. It's Neanderthal. That's what it is. He calls him a Neanderthal. Yeah. Okay.
It's not an insult. That's just what they were.
Yeah, but it's used to describe stupid people, that word. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an insult.
You're uninvolved. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is an insult then.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Question two. What is the name of the character MJ is portraying in the movie?
I don't fucking know.
Tiffany West is her name. Question three. What Spanish saying does Spider-Man say when the robot rhino runs at him and he dodges the charge?
Andale?
Nope, it's more like ball.
Toro.
Yes, correct. He says Toro, Toro. Question four. What does Peter say right at the start when photographing the robot pirates? He says a famous pirate saying.
Arg.
Nope. Nope.
There she blows.
Nope. It's
Lando.
The one of the words in there is shiver.
Shiver me timbers.
Yar. That's what he says. Yar.
We could do a whole segment where we're pirates. Yar.
What type of store?
Smythe and Kingpin join a pirate brigade.
Butt pirates.
Butt pirates.
Okay, question five. What type of store did Spider-Man spot that was an obvious illusion by Mysterio? He looks at all these stores and he goes, let's see, we've got this, this, and this. And then he goes, hang on, there's no way this would be here because you can't find a decent blank unless you go like five blocks this way.
Daily.
That's right. I really like how Spider-Man New York that well. I thought that was a cool little ad.
I would like to address the previous thing we were talking about. Feel like butt pirate is probably an offensive thing to say.
Probably. Maybe.
If it is.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Maybe it is. I'm not sure. This is always fun in this podcast. Every week we come into clashes with words. We're like, can we say that? Never like super offensive, but they're words we're like.
I don't want to offend anybody.
No, I know. Neither do I. I just want to have a laugh. Question six and the final question.
But at other people's expenses?
I don't think so. No. Question
Unless
six.
Unless they're Cajun.
Or Australian from London. Or South
or
African.
Or the King of England.
Or the King of England. Final question. What does Mysterio do to pass the time to suppress his boredom in his prison cell?
Playing cards.
Yes, but specifically, what's he doing with those cards?
Shuffling them.
A little bit more. Think like what he does as his like MO. What's he do? Because he makes them
disappear.
Yeah, he's doing magic tricks with cards.
Ah, right. I got you.
Okay, and the final chat of the day is, what you doing with your life? What are you doing with your fucking life, bud?
Not much.
What are you watching these days?
What am I watching these days?
You're watching Hannibal?
Yeah, I've kind of lost a bit of interest, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really? You've gone on ahead of me now, haven't you?
I think I've only watched one episode of season three as well. But
Okay.
I don't know. The magic of that show was the work in the cases, the different serial killers, and the amazing, amazing prosthetic effects team.
Yes.
And as the show's gone on, more and more CGI has been introduced. Less practical effects are being used. And there's a bit of convoluted storytelling going on that I'm not the biggest fan of.
Yeah.
So I've sort of lost interest a little bit, but I've gotten that so far that I will commit to finishing it.
I'm the exact same way with that show. I've gotten as far as I was interested in going, and I was like, well, I've lost interest now, but I'm going to keep on going because I have watched two seasons. I should know how this ends. And maybe I'll be surprised because season two has some real surprises and some lows as well.
But there's still, but to tell you what though, there is stuff going on in episode one where he's feeding somebody parts of himself and it is fucked up.
It's messed up. Really messed up. She-Hulk continues to get better. It continues to get better and better. Each episode I'm like, this is just even better than the last one. I really like the latest one. I like the one with Wong and that whole case, but this one, it was great. I loved all the little details that they threw in there, like the knockoff t-shirts of the Avengers. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, you're going to see a shitload of those shirts being sold at Disney stores. Definitely. And I was like, what a great little thing for them to create a knockoff of the Avengers. And then Disney's going to sell the knockoff of those as well. I think that's mm-hmm. hilarious.
She's good and charming. And I think she plays both characters really well. I'm very much into it. And I went into this thinking, I'm not going to like this, because you know what? The trailer for that show sucked. I'm just going to say
it. It did.
They took all of the parts that are not my favorite about the show and were like, this is it. And it's not that show at all. It's just a funny, you know, story of the week. Instead, it's not Monster of the Week, it's Case of the Week in this
case.
And everyone's having fun, and it always gets an audible laugh from me. So I'm in, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, I agree. Got a little tease of Daredevil to come. That was cool.
Did we?
Yeah, that was right at the end of the last episode. It wasn't even a cutscene. It was there's a box. The costume designer was like, have you ever heard of client confidentiality? And it's Daredevil's helmet in the box.
Okay, the sun was beaming into my house when it happened, and I couldn't see it. I was like, what the fuck is that? And my wife was like, oh, I think it's the ladies that she was just doing a case with outfit. I was like, oh, all right.
No, it's Daredevil's helmet. So,
well, fuck me. That would have been way cooler for the experience. how is that lady that like used her brand not like in jail for busting through? There's two things that I don't like about the show. It's that lady busted into a courtroom to do some damage, and she got kicked in the face. She would have been arrested, or at least having to, maybe she just paid for damages because she's wealthy.
Yeah.
But my second problem is there's no way Wong would have even been able to sit down and have a case against that guy with magic, because he must be wanted by the American authorities for busting the Abomination out of prison.
Oh yeah, that's true. The Abomination was let off, but yeah, Wong wouldn't be let off for breaking an inmate out and then putting
him back. They even joked about it, saying, like, you are going to jail.
Yeah. But I wonder how they deal with that. Well, that's what I like, is how they deal with super beings in, like, in law, and how they handle it and tiptoe around it and stuff. Yeah, it's a really great show. It continues to really just surprisingly be, I think, possibly the best Marvel show that I've seen yet.
I would not say possibly. It's hands down the best Marvel show.
Yeah, there's been some really good ones, but this just, I really like the style and the feel of this. And it took me a while to get into it because I felt like it was rushing, but now it's kind of found its footing and it's established some. I watch it with my girlfriend. And she says, I really like the side characters. They've done a really good job at like creating little stories with the side characters and making them believable as well. And mm-hmm. it's not just like in your face where it's like, women have to deal with these types of men all the time, because they do, and they just they inject that into the storylines without making it the main part of the storyline. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I really like that. My girlfriend was saying, like, that's the best way to do it, because that's how we live our lives. We try and do something and we have to deal with these types of men or these situations as a woman all the time, and that's just part of that process, not the main part of it. So I thought that was really of a good way.
And that's why I wasn't a big fan of the trailers, because they made it seem like that's what the whole show was about.
Yes, it's not at all. Yeah, it's a really good show. I rewatched Thor 4 because it's on Disney Plus. I watched it with my girlfriend, who was like hesitant about seeing it, and I didn't tell her that I didn't like it because I didn't want to have her with any like prejudgment, but she really liked it. She cried at the end, bud. Like, she was into Thor 4. She really enjoyed it, and I was like, I'm surprised you enjoyed it so much. And her enjoyment and me knowing what the story was and giving another chance, kind of like this happened with Multiverse of Madness, I kind of settled more into of like, okay, I don't hate it now. I don't think it's an amazing movie, but I think it's pretty good. I think it's got some mm-hmm. good moments in it. It's got some really weak bits that still fall flat for me. Some exposition scenes, some dialogue, some acting that I'm like, oh, that just pains me to watch. But overall, I enjoyed watching it. So it's not as bad as I thought it was. It's a good movie.
Good.
Handmaid's Tale, new season of that came out.
Oh, brother.
Best show around. That shit is just juicy drama every fucking week. It just continues to amaze me at like how I don't see some things coming until they're happening, and I'm like, oh. And I watch it with my girlfriend, and we're always like, what are they planning? What are they up to? Like, what's the game here? They're up to something.
I forgot how much I hated the characters in that show. And it all just came telling back.
That you're supposed to hate, you mean.
And yeah. I know this isn't the final season, and I'm like, I need the show to end because I hate everyone. So I need a happy... If it doesn't have a happy ending, then damn.
I don't think it will.
I have seen a lot of people commenting like, catch the live reality experience of The Handmaid's Tale in Florida, Texas, and like, listen to all these other places. In America, because obviously all the laws are being changed.
I love that. Yeah. Soon to come to Florida.
It was very funny.
That was funny. Yeah, that show is always going to be one that I watch and tune into. You got me into that show. It's really good. And then I'm still watching House of the Dragon. That still entertains me. I'm watching the new season of Rick and Morty, which has been good.
Are you watching The Lord of the Rings anymore?
No, I haven't watched after episode 2. I've been thinking about it, but I just haven't gone back in. And every time I do, I'm like, nah. And that tells me like, hey, this is Lord of the Rings. You should want to watch this. And the fact that you're not interested.
I haven't even given it a go.
It might just not be for me. You know, I gave it a chance, and I don't dig the vibe, the characters, the timeline that it's in. Just not my jam. I'm digging House of Dragon. I think House of the Dragon is good. It's like more old fashioned Game of Thrones. It's a little
lives in a house like this.
It's a little smaller scale than Game of Thrones, but it's good. And my final thing that I've just watched today is I saw Clerks 3.
Oh, cool. How was it?
It was surprisingly, not surprisingly actually, because I like the Clerks movies. But it felt more in the vein of like Clerks. The first one, you know what I mean?
Well, like, I don't like Clerks 2. Never have liked Clerks 2.
No, and there's going to be some bits of Clerks 2 feel to this movie. I will tell you that.
But I love Clerks 1.
But yeah, because it's like, it's back to the convenience store, and it just feels more like, it feels smaller and more contained, and just... He's playing with his old action figures, I feel like, and these old characters, which are, he's got new stories to tell. And because of the plot of the movie, and it's something that happened to him in real life, I really like how he's kind of...
Oh, someone going to have a heart attack?
Essentially, that's like what...
Spoilers, Jesus
Christ. It's what spawns the whole plot of the movie, right? Okay. And that was in the trailer, bud. You watched the trailer. You said it looked good. So
I don't remember it.
Okay, well, that was in the trailer, because that's the only reason I said that, because I knew you'd seen the trailer. Yeah, it was great. It was just a good old-fashioned Kevin Smith film. going back to his roots a little bit, and some funny lines and some not so funny lines that, you know, you're like, that didn't really land for me. But it's a tight hour and a half, which I really appreciate. It's not like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something ridiculous. And yeah, it's just good fun. It flows. And I was like, wow, I really enjoyed that. That was good watching.
Now we'll check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out. All right. And that concludes what you're doing with your life. So as always, Bud, is there anything you want to add before we jet off?
Follow Speech Comics on Twitter at Speech Comics and get updates on my Kickstarter book. That'll be coming next year, baby.
That's right. Go do that. And if you want, go follow at Chef Alex Robson on all socials and check out my cooking channel that I do on YouTube. We will be back next week with our next review of The Lizard King, which I'm very intrigued to see again. And maybe I'll like it, or maybe I'll still hate it.
Jim Morrison being in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He used to call himself The Lizard King, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That was I was like, Jim Morrison, what are you talking about? And then I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. And I mainly remember that from Val Kilmer's movie. I remember him saying that a lot. Mm-hmm.
Or Robert California, I'm the Lizard King, bitch.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm the fucking Lizard King.
So yeah, tune in next week where we'll be reviewing The Lizard King, and then we will do one more episode of season 4 after that, and we are done with season 4 and we're on to season 5. And I have some potential news with this show is that season 5, episode 1, there is an episode titled The Wedding. And I am currently talking to voice actors that we've seen on this show before to come on the show, and we're trying to find a date and time where all four of us, including myself and my brother, are going to chat and review the wedding episode, because it's such a great way to open up season 5. And I'd love to hear from people that were involved in that particular episode. So there's no guarantees. There's no promises. Obviously schedules can change all the time. People get busy. It's hard to line it up, especially with time differences, LA, England, all of that stuff. But if it does work out, be awesome to have them on board. So yeah, that will be coming in a couple weeks. And of course we've got Batman the Animated Series podcast as well, which you can go check out at Batman TAS Pod on Instagram and Facebook, or Batman TAS Pod 1, as in the number 1, because it's the number 1 Batman TAS Pod on
that's my line.
You can go check that out on Twitter right now, and you can find us on wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to episode 1, where we just talk about what we remember from Batman the Animated Series, what we love, the character depictions, voices, etc., and what we plan to do with the show going forward. And episode 1, which will be the review of On Leather Wings, will be out in late October, just in time for Halloween.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's all the plugs and the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Spider-Man, the Animated Series podcast. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember, with a great podcast comes great recordability.
Good night, you peasants.
You're in a bad mood. I can't wait to talk to you. It's going to be fun.
Yes, fuck you and fuck everybody else. Let's do this.
You're becoming like the Lewis Black of this podcast.
That's fine.
That's fine. Ooh. Not even going to laugh at that one.
Just the looks you give sometimes. Smite.
Don't make me come over there and beat you up.
Yeah, okay. You can't beat me up. You can't even come over here.
I can beat you up.
I'd like to see you try.
Well, then it's settled. I challenge you to a duel.
Oh, we're having a fight? We haven't had... When do you think the last time
And guess what? I've been in a bad mood for years now, so I have a lot of pent-up aggression. And your face is what I'm going to take it out on.
You have a lot of pent-up arteries as well, though, so you might not be able to catch
it. I don't! Again, we've been over this! I have very good cholesterol.
You do. I suppose you do. You're like the kingpin of this show.
This is the guy that fucking, like, cooks red meat on YouTube for a living. Fucking hell. I see you slap back those sandwiches and rub your titties as meat, though. It's the best thing ever! I'm going to have another bite! It's really good! Well, I hope it is. You made it.
Thanks for the free plug.
I cut that.
When do you think?
I'm gonna come kick your ass.
Well, two things. When do you think you're gonna try and come beat me up, so I can make myself available? And also, when do you think the last time it was that we had like a fight?
A physical fight?
Yeah. Oh, you and me get in arguments. Like, we have a blowout at least once or twice a year.
Yeah, because you're a piece of shit.
I called you a piece of shit last episode, and you were like, "I'm never beating you shit." You took such offense to being called a piece of shit. I can tell.
There you go. Your boy. Does it hurts, don't it?
No, I found it funny. All right, you piece of shit. When was the last time we got physical, you piece of shit?
I know, we haven't got very physical in our lives regardless with each other.
Was it the time that we like got in a fight after watching the movie The Punisher? Which is so funny because it's like,
I don't remember
that movie that depicts violence and it's just like, ow, I'm angry at you. I had been sent back from uni. I like been kicked out for a semester.
Oh.
And remember this, right?
I deserved the physical torment for this. I will be the first to admit it. After the thing I said, I was like, that was not in good taste.
Oh, you went so cutthroat and
I did.
I saw red. I remember seeing red when you said that. What did you say? What exactly did you say?
It was you were back from uni because you had failed university.
Yeah, I failed out for a semester, yeah.
And we got into a stupid fight about something stupid. And I can't remember the exact words I said, but I said to you, like, no wonder you failed university because you're failing this, or something like that, where it's like, I basically was like really cold, where I was like, you're a failure on all levels.
Yeah. You know?
It was something like that. You're an absolute failure.
And you like stormed out of my room.
I remember it was more tactical. I should retreat.
Yeah, and I went straight into your bedroom, and I remember I like fucking grabbed you.
We are talking 20 years ago, by the way, people. Yeah. This is not something recent.
Well, less than 20 years ago, if it was me being kicked out of university, but close enough.
Not that far off.
No, like I guess like 18, 17 years ago. Yeah. God damn. But I remember like throwing you on your bed and like strangling you. It's just like, fuck you. And you like had this weird, like you had this weird stoic look. Your laugh just freaking me out right now.
It's so funny.
You had this weird stoic look in your eyes. Like,
stoic, huh?
Like what I was doing, not that like you were into it, but
when I was like, do it.
Yeah. I think you said like, go on, kill me or something like that.
No, I didn't. I would never say that.
Something like that when I was
joking. I would never say, go on, kill me. No,
I think it was more hell. Like it wasn't more like a do it, like a challenge, which you
I
knew.
Think I was looking at you because I was like, how far is this guy gonna go? Because he's gone straight to choking me, and there's only one end result of that, and it's death. So I think it was more maybe a morbid curiosity of like, what is your plan now?
Can you imagine if that's where it ended for you? You got in a fight over like the ending of The Punisher?
I think I would have proved my failure point pretty strongly there.
Why? I actually achieved something. I set my mind on a task, which was to kill you, and I achieved it. I wouldn't be a failure.
That's what you'd be telling yourself as you pace your fucking cell.
Oh God,
I'm not a failure. I killed him.
Imagine me going upstairs to the parents. We got in a fight because of the Punisher movie. I don't even remember what it was about. And I killed him because he called me a failure.
You would have gone to an American prison as well.
Oh, oof. Whole different ballgame. Yeah. And for all listeners that maybe don't know, we're brothers. So it's not like we're like, hey, we've got a really toxic relationship.
No, but I knew what I'd said was really, because I knew you were going through a tough time, because you failed out of university, but also like there was like you were lying to the parents about like that you were doing well, but then it finally caught up to you. You were missing all your friends. All your other friends were off at university. Like, you're in a pretty bad spot.
Well, yeah, thanks for opening up that fucking box again.
Yeah, you're fine now.
Yeah, I know. I recovered.
And I took well advantage of that and just said some diabolical stuff.
Yeah, you went for the like mental torture. You used to do that, you fucking little shit, when we were younger.
What do you mean?
You used to do like what villains do in movies, where like there was a physical threat that the hero would always overcome, but then there was like the, you know, the evil like mental threat that it was the smats.
Maybe it's because I've never been afraid of physical threats. I don't know.
Maybe, but you're like, I'm gonna go in and fuck with his skull.
No, I never had like, I am going to torture my brother.
You're like, what can I say in this moment because I'm so mad, and what's going to make him the most upset? I know, that's what happens,
but
right?
But when we were kids, especially in America, and teenagers, one, we were douchebags anyway because we were teenagers. Two, we were douchebags anyway because we were indoctrinated into American society. And three, we were competitive as kids, or especially you were. Well, you still are today, but like on a different level. But you would always like, oh my god, you know what used to drive me fucking crazy about you? you would do something where you'd be like, whether it's a word or like if it was like, that's not the name of the actor, bro, or like, that's not how you use that word in a sentence, bro, and you'd be so convinced that you were right. And then on the times you were right, it would drive me nuts because you'd rub it in like furiously, and it would drive me insane.
That's but, not how you use that word, by the way.
But when you were wrong,
the word is profusely, yes, not profusely.
fuck you, buddy. And then if you were wrong, oh, it was a tasty treat.
Well, okay. You know what? I'm wrong.
You would
most
go,
of the
God
time.
Damn it! And you'd like free and you storm out. But no, actually, no. What you would always do, which you kind of sometimes do today, is you stick to your guns, where you're like, nope, I've heard it used that way, and that's it. That's it. And even though, and I know in your head, you're like, I'm wrong, but I cannot say that I'm wrong. So I'm going to stick with this. You're a ride or die bitch when it comes to that.
Yeah, you caught me on that one. I definitely am. I go all in sometimes. But what did I say? I said a word. I just came back from holiday and we were watching the Queen's funeral. And I said a word to my girlfriend and she's like, that's not a word. I'm like, yeah, it is. And she's like, why are you adding an extra syllable into it? And I was like, what? And I basically added the word tit into the word when it doesn't need. Oh, man, I wish. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. I almost. Hold on. I'm going to go yell down and ask her. Let me find out.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Silence on the podcast. My big stupid brother is asking his big stupid girlfriend a question. I take that back. She's not big and stupid, but he is.
Okay. The word I said was attentive.
Attentive?
And it's attentive. And I've said attentive. And I'm like, that's the word. And she's like, no, attentive. And I'm like, is it? And like, I usually am like fairly humble where I'm like, is it? And I Google just to visually register in my brain, because I'm a visual learner, like, let me see if that's the word for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I typed in attentive and Google was like, what are you talking about, mate? It's attentive.
What
and
are
I was
you
like,
talking
oh,
about?
Fuck. And I was like, I've said that. And
attentive.
And my girlfriend's like, okay, sometimes I hear you say words and they're not actually words and I let it go. And I was like, I do a podcast. Like, I say these words. Like, I need to make sure I'm not saying the wrong word. Where did attentive come from? Why am I adding an extra syllable?
Now, are you the type of person that takes offense if someone corrects you? Because I'm not. I'm here to learn, and if I'm making a mistake, I would like it to be corrected.
Not at all. I don't take offense to being corrected. I think I used to have a chip on my shoulder, as you said. I don't take offense anymore. But if someone's just like, what? What? Are you stupid? Why do you think that's the word? Why do you think that's a word? If they act like that, like
the way you used to act?
The way I used to act, then I'm like, I don't like that. You're being way too attentive to this issue.
You had my curiosity, but now you have my attentive.
Because I know I've said that person is quite attentive to detail. And it's attentive. And I'm like, why do I say attentive? Why do I add in?
I don't use attentive in my common vernacular at all.
Right. Well, if you do, that's the word. Not attentive.
Attentive. Maybe it's because we used to go swimming at a place called Tenterton as a kid.
Do you know what, bud? When I heard that, I was like, attentive, because we used to go to Tenterton. Yeah. And now we're going real deep and talking about shit that no one knows what we're talking about. Let's do a podcast, shall we?
Yeah, right.